It's Will Sean Podcast. The internet cried out for two more blowhards, and they courageously answered that call. Armed with the weapon of wit, each week they're joined by guests to discuss movies, television, pop culture, and anything else that's pissing them off. Take it away, boys.
I'm Will Link.
And I'm Sean David.
And this is Will Sean Podcast?
They sure will. Happy 100th birthday, Julia Child. How you doing in the grave? I hope it's delicious. How you doing, Will?
That turned morbid. Now I have this image of Julia Childs in a coffin
well,
eating.
Well, finally, no, she's not eating now. She's the food.
She's being eaten by worms and maggots. Well, we've started this on a positive note. How am I doing is the question you asked me. And
it's the same question I ask you every fucking week.
And you know what? I'm doing all right. Because I went to a terrific... I did something terrific for once in my miserable life. I went to a Regina Spektor concert last night. And people who've listened to the show know I love Regina Spektor. And she played at the Greek Theater here in Los Angeles. Which, by the way, this is the best place I've ever seen a concert. I love this place.
How many concerts have you been to in Los Angeles? And how many venues?
I've been to the Wiltern.
Okay.
And I went to some place on the... UCLA campus once.
Okay, Royce Hall?
Royce Hall.
Okay.
So I've been to a couple of places. Okay. Anyway, this is phenomenal. You're outdoors, and there's like you're surrounded by trees, and it was nice. And she is so charming and wonderful. Like, she's singing and playing the piano and smiling, and everything seems so genuine. Maybe it's not, but it seems it.
I heard that she told everyone at the end how she loves L.A. and that everyone should love each other and care for each other.
She told us that we should love each other. I'm not necessarily going to do that, but I was appreciative that she seemed to love us so much. So, Regina Spektor, you're not listening, but you're the best. She played all my favorite songs. She played just about the entire new album. I'm gushing about this probably too much.
I heard that she was just going to do 2 hours of Woody Guthrie covers, so, you know, maybe it's good she played songs you knew.
She played a good 90 minutes, too. Like, she gave the people their money's worth.
And you met her husband.
I didn't know she was married. I'm very upset about this. He was the not-so-interesting or charming opening act. What's going on in the world of Will Sean Podcast?
A few things. Same as always, Facebook, Twitter. An issue has been coming up recently where people say, hey, I'm still on the Nick episode, but I'm catching up. Don't catch up. Just listen to the latest episode. We're not serialized television. This isn't Breaking Bad. You're not going to miss anything. You can just listen to the most recent episode. Start right now. Listen. Well, you're listening now. That's kind of axiomatic, and I went up my own ass with that one. But just listen to the latest episode. If you like it, you still feel bad, you want to catch up, go backwards, listen to what you missed.
I agree. Start at the end and go back.
Right. It's like Memento.
Yes, we are the Memento of podcasts. And you mentioned the Facebook. We're at 170 likes. I want to be in a month at least at 200, or I'll possibly kill myself.
Then we wouldn't have a podcast. Please don't do that.
Who's our sponsor this week?
This week's episode is brought to you by AC, air conditioning, sweet breath of Boreas, the Greek god of the north wind, cold and crisp. Seriously, though, I really wish I had AC. Does someone want to come and bring me some? Because it's awful, my apartment, and I can't keep washing my sweaty sheets every other day. Like, I need some AC.
That seemed to go off of the ad and into a very personal response. I would think if they're our sponsor, they would give you a free air conditioning.
Yeah, they do. It says coming to Will's apartment, and that's why we're recording here this evening.
At Podcast Studios North. We're going to be talking about the heat on this episode of the podcast.
The Miami Heat?
We're also going to be talking about a few other things, including I went to this concert. We're going to talk about some concert experiences that we've had. We're going to harass some celebrities, and we're going to talk about a certain television show that they have begun filming that's returning that we are all very excited about. But first, we have a guest. Sean, why don't you introduce her?
Rachel Staples. Hello. Singer, actress, all-around firecracker. Hello, how are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Welcome to on the show. So happy that you're here.
I think it's great that you started off with Julia Childs. That was one of my old voice exercises, was Julia Childs, chop the chicken, Julia Childs.
Really?
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Today on television, during break at work, they're watching shitty, because the Olympics are over, so there's nothing left to watch anymore. By the way, I miss the fucking Olympics. Yeah, I said it. And they were doing a whole special on Julia Childs, and they were making beef bourguignon and, I don't know, butter with butter and cauliflower and butter. And that's all they did was talk and gush about Julia Childs. But that's not why we're here.
Now, you know, you introduced her as a singer, but specifically in the past weeks, we've been plugging her as a opera singer.
A classical singer. And let's talk a little bit about that, because you and I are both opera geeks.
Mm-hmm.
And Will is not at all.
I just heard everyone click off the podcast.
It's true.
No.
That's going to happen. No. This is going to be very entertaining and educational. So let me ask you this. When did you start singing?
I started taking classical private voice lessons at 12 years old.
Were you one of those kids that was just always performing?
I was one of those kids that was following in my sister's footsteps.
Okay.
I was one of those kids who my mother always said, Rachel, get off the stage. You know, always singing. Took, you know, horseback riding lessons, dance lessons, all the sports I could do, everything. Cheerleader.
Really?
Like that. Yeah.
You did it all.
I did.
Now, where was this? Where were you?
I was back in North Carolina, in Statesville, North Carolina. Okay. I graduated with a class of like 130 people, maybe. Very small town. My high school was in the middle of a cow pasture.
Wow.
Yeah. Super, super country. And
you packed it all up and went to the big city.
Yeah. Well, packed it all up, moved to Florida first, got my 2 degrees. Then 3 months later, moved out to L.A.
Okay.
So been out here since 2005.
And the intention in coming out to L.A.?
Was all musical. A friend of mine had recorded me in Raleigh, North Carolina. You guys have heard some of the clips.
Yeah.
And really encouraged me to come out here, put my music in a documentary. And I was like, that's...
Was that the one about the Nuremberg trials?
No.
It was the sorrow and the pity.
Yeah. It was actually a documentary about an abduction that happened. And when it was apparently a true story, I never ended up seeing it. But when the guy gets away and he's running through the woods, they're playing me singing opera. So
what piece were you singing?
I was singing O Del Mio Dolce Error, but they used a clip of it.
So. Now, opera is very, you know, you say North Carolina. When I think North Carolina, I don't necessarily think like opera. So how did you
think NASCAR?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, not to be whatever to North Carolina, but what made you start to love opera? Like, where were you exposed to that specifically? Like, I mean,
well, I think as a 12-year-old girl, I was just really interested in singing, mm-hmm. and my family was very by the book about getting the right kind of instruction and things like that. So my aunt and my cousin are both very well-established opera singers. My cousin just sang at the LA Opera as the lead, playing Peter Quint in The Turn of the Screw.
Which I saw, which was phenomenal.
Yeah, so that was my cousin, William Burton, also known as Billy Burton. He honored Pavarotti in the Kennedy Award several years ago.
I know who Pavarotti was.
He's also in the recent Sky magazine, featured for Philadelphia Opera. There was a picture of him. I'm flying on the plane, and there he is, you know.
Placido's quote was too big. Yeah. They had a Pavarotti picture.
No, it was a picture of William Burton just singing.
Oh, I thought you meant Pavarotti.
No.
Okay.
So my cousin, he's very well-established, and my aunt had gotten her master's in voice from Florida State.
Okay. So it was family tradition.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's kind of, but really I wanted to just be a singer, and opera, if you're going to study voice, is kind of the way you go. Yeah. And I happen to be pretty damn good at it. And so opera kind of likes me more than I really like.
Now, maybe this is a stupid question, but you guys, the opera, why is opera the way to go? What is about opera?
Well, let me tell it to you from my point of view as a non-professional singer with no musical talent.
Because all my knowledge of opera comes from multiple viewings of like Amadeus.
Okay. And the one scene, The Shawshank Redemption.
That right there, if I may say, is the one problem with opera. Most people's experience with opera is not live. Opera is a living, live experience that you can feel. So if you see it on Amadeus, you're seeing it through the TV, which loses half of its appeal.
It's very true. Opera for me, and I know many opera singers and people who are classically trained in opera, and I also know people who are trained in Broadway, show tunes, musical theater. And while the musical theater people are very talented and very good singers, it's very different to get up and sing Rent versus La Boheme. A traditional opera singer is on stage for multiple hours singing without a microphone and no amplification to a full house and their voice needs to reach to the very back of the theater, and they're usually singing in a language that's not their own. So you got to be up there, and you're acting, and you got to look good, and you have to hit all your marks, but you got no microphone, and you're singing German, Italian, Russian, French, Czech sometimes. I mean, it's unbelievable. So the training that is involved is mind-blowing. And one other thing about singers that most people don't know is that their voices mature as they get older. So many opera singers don't even hit their stride till their mid-30s. So mm-hmm. if you're like Rachel, who's been studying since she was 12.
And I'm 30.
Right. So
I've still got some leg room.
If your voice is still maturing by the time you're 35, you know, you've been studying this for over 20 years. You know, it's insane.
It's a superhuman art. It's a classic art that is somewhat dying, but I think people like me who are trying to bring it back to people our age, get it in your ear, perform and feel it in your body. That's one thing that I really feel a lot of people say to me if they hear me say, I feel it. Especially really fat people. They're like, wow, I can really feel it in my body.
Well, it's like hitting a tuning fork in a body of water. and that's also, being in close proximity to an opera singer, you feel the power of the sound go right through your body. It's a little different when you're in a big theater. If you're sitting far away, you're not quite going to feel it the same way.
You just said that it was like a dying art. Did you just say that?
I do feel like it's a dying art.
Why do you feel that way?
Because, I don't think there are many people that are disciplined enough to take on the training. It is something that you constantly have to work on. And it's also something that we live in an electronic age. So most people aren't going... I mean, when most people hear me, they'll say, have you ever seen The Fifth Element? You remind me of that girl, the alien.
Really?
And yeah, I get that all the time. So, and actually, I just did a gig at Caesar's Palace for the Event Solution Spotlight Awards.
Okay.
And the lady, she called me out of the blue and she says, I'm looking for an opera singer that can do something like The Fifth Element. And that's pretty much what people's concept of opera is. And they're not used to Madame Butterfly or La Boheme or Il Due Foscare, things like that. You know, other operas that are really what the opera connoisseurs are looking for.
Do you think there's another problem, like there's a disconnect, not just because you're saying it's kind of like analog in a digital world, but it's also getting people to go? Like, I wouldn't be opposed to go to an opera, but I've never thought of going to an opera. It's not like it's something that seems easily done. The idea, just in my head, I think it's going to be expensive or semi-alienating. And I mean, is that true?
I think it's similar to saying I'm a dancer, I'm an ice skater. You know, it's like, if you're a dancer, you're obviously doing a lot of, you know, ballet, things like that, where the ice skaters are also doing that, but it's like going to the ice capades for dance. You know, it's
I
going
just think
to
of the mouse capades.
Yeah.
Well, let me talk, you know, why I got into opera. Once again, I have no musical background, no training. I studied Italian in college. My Italian is decent. And I was at a point in my life where I had started a new job, and I realized that a couple things were going weird in my life, and I said, you know what, I need a new hobby, I need somewhere to put the energy. And this was about 6 years ago, and the LA Opera, for their opening night, it was La Traviata with Renee Fleming, if that means anything to anyone.
My favorite!
Yes. So they were offering $20 tickets, and I go, well, this looks like something that's suitably pretentious enough that would fit within my wheelhouse. And I bought a ticket, and I went. And it was that evening was sponsored by some champagne company, so everyone got free champagne. I'm like, oh, this is not so bad.
Yeah.
My seats weren't great. I watched a show, and I liked it, but I didn't love it, which is an experience that I've heard repeated by many other folks who go to their first opera. I said, you know what, though? I'm going to try this again. And I went, got tickets for about a week and a half later to go see Don Carlos, which is a 19th century. It's a huge, historic, four-hour opera by Verdi. It's amazing. It does all the stuff that a grand opera should do. There was a ticket mix-up. I ended up sitting in the second row center.
Nice.
And it was an amazing, amazing night of opera. It was, if you think about it, you have a full orchestra. You have choruses. You have singers. You have stage work. You have lighting. There's so many opportunities for things to go wrong.
Did you say opportunities? That's what it sounded
like. Yeah.
opportunities for something to go wrong. So just the fact that you're getting a well-produced, competent show, which is what you will get at the LA Opera. Everything they put on their stage there is very professional, of the highest caliber. But for there to be a night where everything is just firing on all cylinders, where the singers are all on, the chorus is on, the orchestra is on, it's very rare. And that was one of those nights. And ever since then, I've just become obsessed. And
well, yeah. How does someone like me? How would I like? What would be like? Like, what's the opera training wheels? Like, what would I do to get into?
Well,
this thing.
Well, I mean, there's plenty of opportunities in Los Angeles. You can go to the LA Opera. You can go to maybe an aria night, which I think is a great opportunity for young professionals to go and not only see an opera, but also mingle with young professionals and kind of go to a party afterwards and kind of get to know other people that are into opera.
There's USC, UCLA puts on productions. And there's also
South Bay.
And if you're just also nervous about going to an opera house, the Met from New York does the Met and HD broadcast, which are broadcasts.
Oh, I see those at the AMC.
Exactly.
When I'm getting ready
to
watch Batman, they're like, come Saturday morning at 10 a.m. and see
little old people.
Yeah.
Yeah. But what a few misconceptions people have about the opera is that, first of all, they're called super titles, so there are translations to everything that's going on stage. So you're not going to be lost. It's no different than going to a foreign film. You don't have to wear a tuxedo. I've personally gone to the opera in jeans and a t-shirt. Like, you can do it. And tickets aren't as expensive as you would think. There are budget tickets to be had. There are rush tickets. There's
I mean, are they,
Gold Star.
Are they as expensive as just like if I went to the Pantages for a show or something? So they're like going to like a regular theater.
Yeah, it's almost cheaper.
Yeah, they have really inexpensive tickets also for students that you can get. And then also, one thing that I think is important, though, when you went to see it and you had the nosebleed seats, if you will, you didn't really enjoy it. So if you want to go and your hope is to really like it, I would say pay the extra money and get a good seat so you can really feel it and get the full experience.
You guys are going to have to bring me to an opera.
Well, when the LA Opera does Parsifal, I think that would be a good starter opera. How do you feel about 6.5 hours of German?
You know what?
It's about the Grail legend. It's very religious.
All these sound right in my wheelhouse. Let's maybe cut that time in half.
Well, and also that's the other thing that people have, the misconception that opera takes forever. There are
You just said
operas.
It took 6.5 hours.
Well, that's one opera.
That's one opera. But if you go see Tosca, which is an opera that's going to be playing this season at the LA Opera House, it is early 20th century. It's in Italian. It's 2.5 hours with an intermission. And there's sex, there's violence, there's torture, there's screaming and hitting and suicide, and awesome.
It's like my Saturday night. I only want to see operas involving sad clowns.
There is one.
I know. before we move on to the topics, so what are you up to now? Like, what are you doing right now?
Well,
other
it's
than
funny.
Being on this podcast.
Yeah. Usually it's interesting because I won't have anything going on, and then somebody will ask me that, and all these things will start happening. I am starting graduate school at California State University Northridge, a.k.a. CSUN. I'm getting used to saying that. I've been calling it CSU Northridge.
Really?
I guess it's CSUN, as everyone calls it, this fall. So I'm excited about that to really enrich and build my training. I've been studying with a couple of different folks, specifically Renee Sosa from the LA Opera, and also Kathy Popovic-Miller, who is one of the accompanists there. I do a lot of interesting gigs in LA that are more like art gigs for art galleries, a lot of art walks where people will have me come and just sing opera while someone's DJing. I get that a lot.
Do you have any of those coming up?
Not at the very moment, but anytime somebody asks me that, I always
when
it's
you
like
do let us know
because
we want to advertise it.
and
I want to go.
And I know you have a website, so I imagine when you're doing any of those gigs, it would be up on the website.
It's on the website. Also, it's interesting that you played on opportunities. I do have operatune.com, operamouth.com, capital O, capital M.
I had Opera Mouth. I can give you an ointment for that.
Yeah. that is kind of my
never
stage
hook up
name
with a, never
or
hook
my
up with
whatever,
a mezzo.
Opera Mouth, rachelstaples.com as
Rachel
well.
Rachelstaples.com.
Yes.
That's where we can go. Yeah. And if you're a good listener of the show, you've already been to the Facebook page, you've already gone to rachelstaples.com.
And later on in the episode, we are going to actually put in a recording of Rachel singing Porgi Amor, which is a aria from Mozart's The Marriage of Figaro. And you may actually recognize it.
And the cool thing, too, with that aria specifically is you can really feel the emotion. It doesn't matter if you know what she's talking about. It doesn't matter if you know the story. It's the opening of the second act. From The Marriage of Figaro, it doesn't even matter. It's like you can feel the pain and the longing, and that's all that she's really expressing.
And we may also be able to see you somewhere in the Southland the coming year, doing talks about operas, I
hear? Yes, absolutely. Opera talks for the LA Opera Education Community Program Outreach.
Sounds fantastic.
This all sounds great. And you're going to have a real treat at the end of the episode listening to this.
And one last thing, just before we move on to the topics. All of this goes back to the idea that opera is, yes, people view it as a dying art form, but, you know, there are young people out there that are passionate about it, that are trying to get the word out, that are trying to get new audiences, and it's not just for stuffy old rich white people. It's also for stuffy poor
young
people.
Yeah, there's a phoenix, you know. The phoenix is us. We're taking that death and turning it into new opera, birth.
Yeah, people, it was the most popular art form in the world for 350 years. They had to be doing something right.
And hopefully one of you jerks listening will give it a chance. God damn it.
And some of the cool things, actually, too, like for the Los Angeles Fashion Week, one of the last ones that they had at the MoCA, they hired me to sing opera on the runway. I was dressed in a completely latex gown.
Interesting.
To kind of show a difference from what was on the runway, which was all vintage Oscar de la Renta, stuff like that. So there is an appeal for this new opera, which seems to be a lot of opera to electronic music. But
by the way, latex gown also sounds like something from a Saturday night of mine.
Yeah. And also protects you from getting opera mouth.
Yeah.
We shall move on now to the topics of the week.
Sure.
And as teased, one of the funniest shows in the history of television. They started
McHale's Navy?
McHale's Navy 2. They started filming McHale's Navy 2. No, Arrested Development.
I love that show.
Did you?
I watched it religiously and rewatched it.
Did you know it's coming back?
I knew that they were. I heard a rumor that they were making a movie.
Oh,
well,
so you're in a tin for a treat here.
What is happening is they are filming 10 brand new episodes that will be available through Netflix, and then after those 10 episodes, I believe they are doing the movie.
But they actually filming them. They are, as we speak, on set. Photos have leaked out. This is happening, people. John Slattery from Mad Men has been cast in a mystery role as well.
Nice.
They have been teasing us with this. I'm shocked. I can't, until I started seeing photos of Tobias in his cutoffs, I did not think it would really happen. It's happening now.
I'm very excited. And my one complaint is that Netflix has decided to release all 10 episodes on one day. Why would you do this to me? I'm going to have to take the day off work.
Yeah, I'll watch them all.
Yeah, and then again, and then again.
So you have to have Netflix to watch this thing.
Right, but you know what? If you don't have it currently, you can subscribe for the month. Let's say it comes out February of next year. You can just subscribe for the month. It'll cost you $7-$8, and you'll get all the Arrested Development you want, and then you can cancel after a month. So I think it's a reasonable cost for amazingness.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to go to your place that day that you watch them all in a row.
And I'm
going to
use the blog on and password that my family pays for to get on the streaming.
So you and me will be watching this shit for free.
Win, win, win.
Rachel, you're welcome to join
us. Awesome. You're welcome to come over. We're going to have an Arrested Development party. We're going to wear our cutoffs. We're all dressed like Mrs. Featherbottom.
And we'll all eat bananas on a stick.
We should do that.
Yeah. I can't eat bananas.
Unless you have opera mouth.
All right, you got an issue with that, don't you?
I got an issue with bananas. They smell. And they nauseate me. Like, it's one food that I smell it and I want to throw up.
Ugh.
So I can't eat bananas.
So no bananas, we'll have a banana on the balcony.
We'll go to the balcony. It'll be like a smoker's corner.
Yeah.
Well, you know, in the beginning of this episode, I spoke that I went to Regina Spektor last night. And, you know, I'm sitting there at the Greek in the theater, and you know, I was thinking about other shows, other concerts I'd been to in the past, and I also thought it was odd that, you know, now I'm sitting at this Regina Spektor show, whereas 10 years ago, any concert I went to, I was, like, trying to fight my way out of a mosh pit or something like that. And I guess, you know, I'm getting fucking old. I'm not going to be in, like, a mosh pit at, like, a Foo Fighters concert. I don't even know if anyone at a Foo Fighters concert is in a mosh pit anymore because they've gotten old. But it got me thinking about some of the best and worst, like, concert experience as I've had. And I was going to throw that out to you guys before I went into a long-winded story about some, like, that you might have had.
Well, you were telling us about in Anaheim?
Yeah, I think one of the cool things about L.A. is sometimes music comes to you without you even expecting it to. I used to work for Westlake Music.
Maybe it's a tumor.
Yeah. And it was just one day somebody comes up to me and says, hey, you want to go to see the Rolling Stones tonight? I have front row seats and backstage passes. And I actually pulled something off of the backstage wall just to prove that I had been backstage. It was like their set list.
Yeah.
So I went to see that the year I moved to L.A. So it was like 2005 in Anaheim.
And you're like, this is awesome.
And same thing happened when David Gilmour was playing at the Kodak.
Okay.
From Pink Floyd. It was like that day somebody gave me a call, said, hey, you want to go to the show? I've got front row seats, no backstage passes that time, but I went to that. One thing I will say, concerts in Los Angeles are very different than concerts in North Carolina. I remember concerts in North Carolina, you know, start raining, or Dave Matthews concert, you know, rolling around in the mud, you know, that doesn't happen out here.
Sounds a nightmare.
Yeah, I couldn't deal with that. Well, look, personally,
it was awesome.
I couldn't deal with going to a Dave Matthews concert to begin with.
Oh,
look, I'm sorry. But rolling in the mud, that would just...
I always thought Dave Matthews looked like Tom Hanks' cousin.
They should play... Like,
you know, yeah,
Tom
brothers.
Hanks's son is in Mad Men. He plays
the priest in season two.
Yeah, not Chet Hayes. Yeah. Tom Hanks's rapper
Once
son.
Once you realize that it's him, you're
well,
like,
well, I guess
oh
he
God,
was the priest also in this season of Dexter, which I don't watch.
What's he doing? He's playing Dexter. Priests all the time.
He's playing priests and he's tweeting about the L.A. Kings. Worst concert of my life took place on September 12, 2001. It was Weezer in Oakland. And, you know, 9/11 had happened, and we're like, oh, do we go to the concert? What do we do? So we said, all right, because they didn't tell us it's canceled. So we went to the Weezer concert the next day. Everyone was in a shitty mood. It was in, like, a school gym. Weezer comes up on stage 45 minutes late. Rivers Cuomo looks around. The place is a third full. I mean, it's just the front of the auditorium. The whole back two-thirds are empty. I guess a lot of people decided not to show up. He looks around, he's like... All right, I guess we're doing this then. And just launched into the most half-assed 45-minute set I'd ever heard. They just played, and then they were done. They put their instruments down. They got off stage.
What was the audience like? Were people like, woo? Like,
people were into it, but tentatively, you know, it was Berkeley crowd. So it was just such a weird concert. Everyone's standing around. Like, are we allowed to enjoy ourselves if we don't do the terrorists win? But then on the subway ride home, taking the BART back, from Lake Merritt to Berkeley, people seemed more jubilant, and people started singing on the train.
Well, people
and then
were coming together.
They
and
were, and
were.
Actually, the train ride back was very, I don't want to say cathartic, but it was very meaningful. I mean, people were just singing and enjoying yourself, and it was the first time, I mean, granted, only been about a day and a half, but you get the sense that's like, all right, it's okay.
We're going to be okay.
Yeah.
You know what? It's funny because Weezer is such a September 10th band anyway.
It's
you know?
True. And I was here's the other thing. I was never a huge fan to begin with. I was like a casual fan, but something about their music just never touched me. I enjoyed them, but I didn't love them. I was more into like Bad Religion and Real Big Fish and, you know, Less Than Jake and Scott. I was the little ska kid in the mosh pit.
Really?
You know? Yeah, I'd go to ska concerts all the time.
I can't see you doing any of this.
Yeah, and I would spike my hair up with blue shit.
What?
And I'd go to all
are
these.
Are there photos of this? Can we put a photo up on the Facebook?
Liat may have a few.
Sean
oh my
ska.
God.
Oh, I used to love ska music. I had, still to this day, if I hear the Real Big Fish album, I just get so happy.
Well, you know what, it's
and
fun.
And punk, ska and punk.
Well, let me just...
Went to Rancid.
This doesn't make any sense.
A lot of Bad Religion.
From everything
distortion.
I know about you.
Yeah.
Well, now my mind is... Well, you know, it's funny because I was saying people like hooting and hollering. I've never been like a hooter or hollerer at a concert, no matter how much I like anything. Like, even at a sporting event.
Well, that's what, like, white dudes just stand around, they have their arms crossed, and they just maybe sway a little
well,
bit.
Well, I can't... Well, I mean, even when I'm watching sports, I can maybe go like, yeah, Jeter... But I can't go, ah! Like, the, but at concerts last night, in between every Regina Spektor song, there's, like, multiple men and women going, I love you, Regina! And I'm like, ugh, just, I mean, I couldn't imagine yelling that at Regina Spektor.
You have too much respect for
even
her.
Though I do love her,
you
but
have
I'm not
too
gonna
much respect her.
Yeah, respect the Spektor. That's what our posters and t-shirts, respect the Spektor. But I've had some weird concerts. I've had some great concerts I've went to. I saw Beck a couple of times, and he always put
Beck
on a great show.
Beck puts on a great show.
He puts on a great show. But probably the weirdest concert experience I ever had was...
Sean Corkery's band?
No. Well, I used to go see Sean Corkery's band, the Repercussions, all the time. But
Long Island people.
That was a
I did see a concert on Long Island. I saw Lauryn Hill on Jones Beach with the ocean coming between.
My story.
So awesome.
My story is a Jones Beach
oh,
story.
Oh, nice.
Well, I would go to some
concerts. Is that on East Egg or West Egg?
It's on the South. What? No. Okay, so my friend JT was working as a nanny for this woman who she would just indiscriminately get tickets to Jones Beach. And, you know, sometimes,
what the fuck is Jones Beach?
Jones Beach is a beach.
A badass place to go see a show.
And okay. They have a concert hall there. I figured you would have figured that out by there being a concert at a place called Jones Beach.
I thought maybe
knowing
Long Island, it could have been
but
a diner.
But the ocean, like, comes... It's like you're watching the show, and the ocean is, like, rolling in.
Yeah, you can see the ocean.
Yeah, it's awesome.
So, anyway, it's a nice venue. And she would get these free tickets. And... JT wouldn't like, you know, he wouldn't want them sometimes. Sometimes he'd want them. And one day she comes into work and she goes, JT, do you like Motley Crue and Megadeth? And JT goes, no. And she goes, do you want 10 free tickets to Motley Crue and Megadeth? And he goes, yeah. And he calls me up at like 9 a.m. He goes, well, I got 10 free tickets to Motley Crue tonight. Call 8 other people. Let's get something going. So I called a bunch of people. I couldn't really find a lot of people who were down to go see this last minute. But our friend Sage, she wanted to come, and she went all out for this. Like, we were just dressed like we normally were. She put on some ripped T-shirt that said TNA and was wearing leather pants.
Nice.
And we go, and we buy
Sage
some...
Sage wanted a little Tommy Lee loving at the end of the night.
Well, Tommy Lee wasn't in the band at that point. He had, like, left for a while. It was the female drummer from Hole who was drumming for them. It was weird. Well, anyway, we go to Jones Beach, and we, like, bought some beer and stuff. We're hanging out in the parking lot. Didn't have a bottle opener. There are all these other guys there, and Sage is like, they have a bottle opener. I'll go get it. And I'm like, okay. And she goes over, and then she's talking to him. Of course, she's a good-looking girl. She's walking back. All the guys are following her. And we're like, Jesus, now we got to talk to Motley Crue fans. We don't know anything about Motley Crue. And the guys come over to me and JT, and they're like, I swear to God, they go, so, man, you guys down with the crew? And JT's like, yeah, I bought the tickets the day they came on sale. I've been waiting for this concert all summer. We go into this concert. It's a nightmare. We don't know what's going on. We are so drunk. And the only two songs we know of Motley Crue are Girls, Girls, Girls and Dr. Feelgood. And we only kind of know them. And Vince Neil of Motley Crue comes out and he literally starts a concert like this. He goes, how you motherfuckers doing on this motherfucking Friday night at motherfucking Jones Beach, motherfucker? And JT just starts screaming, I worship Satan! I worship Satan! And we were the jerks of the crowd because, like, they're playing Dr. Feelgood, and all me and JT are going is like, ba-da-da-ba-da-ba-da, feel good, ba-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da, all right. And everybody got drunk, and our friend Jen was vomiting, and I mean, it was a...
And if this is a typical Will Link story, nobody got laid.
Nobody did get laid. We all went to Applebee's afterwards, and then we went home and went to bed. So that's how, I mean, that was like, I am still not a Motley Crue fan. I wasn't a Motley Crue fan then, but.
Interesting you bring up Megadeth. The lead singer, David Mustaine, was in the news this week for going on record by saying that President Obama organized the Aurora, Colorado shooting to push through his anti-gun agenda.
The anti-gun agenda, which he has never expressed.
But you just don't know, man. All right? How can we be so stupid and blind? It's obvious.
This drives me insane. Yeah. And now I regret seeing him for a half hour on stage at Jones Beach. At least I didn't give him money.
This is true.
Speaking of the beach, you know what people do in the summer? They go to the beach. You know why? Because there's water and it's fucking hot out.
There's sharks. There's sand. I hate it.
Sharks. It's no good. I can't deal with the beach either. Sand. I get sand in my vagina. It's no good. So, but the beach, you know, you go out when it's hot. This whole summer, I don't know if you noticed, but the past couple weeks here in L.A.
It's been fucking hot.
It's been really fucking hot.
Super fucking hot. Hey, Will, how's that AC doing?
The AC, I've had this AC blasting for at least, like, the past 10 days. This is going to cost me a fortune.
Yeah.
I got this, I'm at work, I have this blasting because I don't want to come back to an oven. The heat is getting out of control. It's driving me insane. Like, I've never had heat issues, but now I'm like, I can't stand it. I can't, it's driving me crazy. And that is why... And this is so fucking stupid. But that is why this week, The fucking sun is the enemy of the podcast. The sun. And I'll tell you why. Because I am apathetic now. Like, I woke up yesterday, and I'm trying to read the script for work, and I couldn't do it. It was too hot. Even with the AC on, I had to take a fucking nap. I'm low energy. I think I'm dying. And it's all because of fucking heat. And we have to do something about this.
So you're going to get involved with causes to reverse global warming or do more for the environment? What are you
going to
do?
No. I am going to, a la Mr. Burns, come up with a diabolical plan to block out the sun. Because the sun, we need it. And yeah, I'll get involved in your global warming.
Give Superman his powers.
I would sacrifice Superman to get rid of this heat, because it's not breaking. I'm looking at this thing here in L.A. We're going to be like 100 degrees plus all weekend. And how are you
doing? They say that in 2 weeks it should cool down.
2 weeks? We'll be dead in 2 weeks. There are cats in my courtyard. I worry about them. We're bringing them water because they're dying. They're dying of the heat.
The cats are doing fine. They're going out. They're hunting lizards.
I don't know. One of them almost attacked me when I came
back. Well, because he wants to suck the moisture out of your
they're
skin.
Getting, these cats never were plotting anything. Now I look in there. They're fucking plotting. They're trying to figure out how to beat this heat. How are you surviving, Sean?
Well, how am I surviving? One, I have a very high tolerance for these sorts of things. Two, I have a fan that blows right in my face. And three, I'm sleeping about 3 hours a night because the rest of it I'm just basting like a Thanksgiving turkey.
I mean, you can't sleep at night.
That's
and the,
fine.
The AC doesn't really get to my bedroom, so I'm dying in there at night. I'm sleeping.
I like to think that this is making me tougher. Do you have AC, Rachel? What's your situation?
I do have AC in my house. My AC in my car just broke, and
nice.
I live deep in the valley, so that has been really hard. I have a little spray bottle that I've been carrying with me in my car so that I can spray myself down, which I'm already sweating, so I usually show up to work nice and wet.
And what the fuck is a...
You heard it here, folks, on the Will Shot Podcast.
Rachel constantly wet.
Especially in the hot summer months.
And what the fuck is a flex alert? Now I'm hearing messages, oh, you gotta watch out for a flex alert. What is it? I don't even know what it is.
No, what am I doing to beat the heat? I come home, I eat some food.
Hydrate.
Nah, I hydrate at work. I spend a lot of time at Starbucks, and I get all my work done there. It's my mobile office. Then I come home, and I roast.
The sun. Fuck you, the sun. And fuck you, anyone who thinks this is a bullshit enemy. That sun is causing a lot of problems. And I am going on a campaign against it until the heat breaks.
Now, speaking of campaigns, Will and I have been considering something. We may need some listener feedback on this.
We could use your help. We know you're always so fucking helpful. And we could use your help. See, the sun is making me nasty.
Nastier.
We have decided that Will Sean Podcast, Rachel, you are a terrific guest.
Thank you.
And you can't get much better than you as a guest.
But
we're going to try to get better.
Okay.
Guests.
Oh, here it comes.
And we're looking for, we want to try a campaign to book someone better than us, better than all of us.
Put together, all of you listeners.
Some celebrity.
Like, we're talking Bill Murray level here.
We have joked about we should try to get Bill Murray on the podcast because he has this system where you call him and you leave a message on some clandestine answering machine and he'll like, if he likes what you say, he'll come help you out.
Do you know about this? He doesn't have an agent, doesn't have a manager. There's a phone number and just people in Hollywood have the phone number and you call Bill Murray, you leave him a voicemail and he will or will not get back to you. That's how you book a
brief. Haven't done that yet?
We gotta get the phone number.
Yeah.
Now, the problem is, the only way to try to get anyone of note, other than the people of note that we kind of know, is to harass celebrities, which is iffy because you don't want to bother people, but we want to bother people, and we want to tweet at them, we want to break them down to come on the podcast.
But we haven't decided who it is we want to have on the show yet.
Now, Sean, have you been having any thoughts on this? Have you thought of any people that maybe we could tweet at and annoy and?
Renee Fleming.
She'll be here at the end of the season. You
really?
Know? She's doing a special performance.
Will is very confused.
Would you know singers? Anyone that our listeners would know that we should harass to be on the show?
Anna Netrebko.
No,
I'm just, yeah. And Erwin Schrott, the two of them. Okay, who would they know? I don't know. Let's get them like a Jaden Smith.
Jaden Smith. That's a good one. He's a kid. Come on.
No, that's a terrible idea.
Yeah, you'd have to watch your language.
Yeah, no Jane Smith, no Chloe Grace Moretz's.
No green alien vagina talk.
How about we get the Fierce Five on here?
Can we get the Fierce Five?
I don't have enough headsets for the Fierce Five.
I'll tell you what. They're doing a tour now, but that'll end soon. Their time on Wheaties boxes will be over before you know it.
You know we're discussing getting 5 15-year-old girls in here on a podcast. That's just creepy.
Okay, how about I'm going to throw some names out.
All right, let's see what we got.
Kevin Smith.
I think he'd do it, although we don't smoke weed. We'd have to get high with him.
I've never gotten high before. This could be the incentive. I will get high for the first time with Kevin Smith.
I thought you were going to get high for the first time with Oliver Stone.
Kevin Smith. Do you think we could get him?
We could try.
How do we do it?
Probably just tweet at him, actually.
Zooey Deschanel.
She is adorkable. I don't know that she would do it, though. I don't get the sense. I feel like she, as sweet and wonderful her persona is, I don't get the sense that she's very friendly.
Oh.
I don't know.
I'm gonna do it now.
You heard it here on the podcast. Zooey Deschanel is a bitch. Oh, cunt. You went cunt. No, we love you, Zooey.
I love you, but I'm not under any illusions.
Wow. Lena Dunham. We talk about her. We revere her. I love her.
If she's ever in Los Angeles?
Do you think she'd do it?
Maybe, because the same way that Judd Apatow plucked her out of obscurity, she can pay it forward.
Lena Dunham, we want you to pluck us out of obscurity and forget all the horrific misogynistic things we just said about Zooey Deschanel. Lena Dunham, you're our salvation. Couple of other people, a little low on the rung. Paul Scheer, we love his podcast. He should love ours.
He should. Paul Scheer could be a potential get. For those of you who don't know Paul Scheer, you've seen him in a number of things. 30 Rock, he's on NTSF, SVU, SD, ABCD. What's that show?
Yeah, I think you got it right.
He's a comedian. He's been on Children's Hospital. He does a podcast called How Did This Get Made, where they review and break down the shittiest movies ever made.
We love him. He's great. Yeah. Throw out another one.
Okay.
Garfunkel and Oates. Not who you're thinking, or maybe, Rachel, but do you know Garfunkel and Oates?
I know Simon and Garfunkel, but no.
This is Kate Micucci and
Ricky Lindholm.
And they're these two adorable, talented women
who do very comedic folk songs and very amusing music videos, and they're playing at the Largo soon, actually.
They're always playing, and I always say I'm going to go see them, and I never go see them.
So basically, we're not officially fans of theirs. We find them attractive from a distance, are amused by their songs that we happen to have heard, and yet we're going to pursue them for our podcast.
I follow them on Twitter.
Wow, fucking here, follow on Twitter. That's like saying you support an organization and give no money to it.
Just like
that's like you bitching about global warming and doing nothing.
I know.
So you passively track them from a distance.
I'll tell you what. I will start tracking.
Actively.
I'll start actively going after Garfunkel and Oates more than the global warming thing, which says a lot about me and my priorities. I had a dream about them the other night.
Really?
It wasn't sexual, but it was like I felt like if I hadn't woken up, it would have headed that way. but they should come on the podcast.
Basically, so you were at a really awesome party, but you left before it turned into an orgy.
Yeah.
Okay.
I woke up from the fucking heat with the fucking sun. Fuck you, Enemy of the Podcast. Rich, do you have any suggestions? Any celebrity suggestions?
Yeah. I'm thinking, like, local celebrity, somewhat worldwide celebrity, like some folks from, I don't know if you guys know, Lucent Dossier, Vaudeville Cirque. That would be an interesting
outlet. I don't know what any of those words are.
It's a performance troupe here, based here in L.A.
Okay.
Really close friends with the brainchild
of
that. And maybe could get her to come by here. Her name is Dream Rockwell. They go all over the world. She would be a good
interesting
person. I'm trying to think. I work at a college that has a lot of celebrities that have come out of it, like Jesse Tyler Ferguson from A Modern Family, the guy with the red beard.
Yeah. We'd have him on.
Yeah, I'm sure you would. Let's see, Amanda Musso. She's done a couple of things. I'm just thinking of like local celebrities that I could maybe reach. But who you should have on are people that could shoot the shit.
That's true. And you could shoot the shit.
Yeah, can I? All right.
You've been shooting shit.
All right.
You told us very intimate personal details.
But so we're gonna put this out there. We're gonna start putting together our strategy of harassment.
We want to know what you think. Let us know who you think we should try to get on, and then help us bother
help
these
us,
people.
Help
you
us.
Should start applications so that people could apply, and then you know, and create the demand.
Wait, well, I'm confused. Who's creating demand for whom?
You guys create the demand, like, oh, do you want to be on the podcast? Oh, you fill out this application.
Oh,
and then obviously you seek out the other people, but then you might get some trickle
we
down.
We have to make ourselves seem really
seem like
until they come over
process.
To our apartment and realize that this is what's going on.
Hey, but they listen to it.
Podcast studios.
That's right.
Well, before we leave today, we want to play the song, your song.
Por di amor,
and so that's going to happen now.
So why don't you intro it? Why don't you give a little.
Well, this is the opening to the second act of Por di amor. This is when the Countess has figured out that her husband is indeed flirting with and interested in the beautiful Susanna. Yeah. And she's just in her chamber and is just saying, you know, love, just grant me some relief. Give me this relief or just let me die because I don't want to live watching my man hooking up with Susanna.
Susanna, who is the housekeeper.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, let's give it a listen. That was fantastic.
What'd you think? Your first exposure to opera?
That was good. That was really good.
Did it move you? Did it touch you? Did it tickle you?
I was touched. Maybe not in the ways that you were expecting.
Not, you didn't
that was just me.
Oh, I thought I was feeling these things unhindered, but you were.
It was actually Rachel involved. And if you guys like that, it's a small taste. Rachel is very talented, and we're going to be posting up stuff where you can see her sing live. And I know next time you do opera and disco or opera and electronica, I'm definitely going to want to come check that out.
I will definitely let you know.
Because that will be very, very interesting.
It is.
I would love to see this as well. It sounds
you
like
you just want to see her in latex.
I want to see everyone in latex, to be fair, but in particular.
Wearing a latex gown is a very interesting experience.
Oh, I know. My Halloween costume last year was...
Oh, nice. It's just like super slippery, nasty, fun, definitely wet.
Key word of this episode is wet. So, before we go, Plug away. Tell us your website again. Tell us everywhere we could check everything out.
Sure. RachelStaples.com, OperaMouth.com, OperaTune.com. I'm on Facebook as The Rachel Staples, so Facebook.com/TheRachelStaples.
Are you on Twitter?
You know, I have a Twitter account, and I don't do anything with
it. But it's mainly for your, like, North Carolina racist rantings?
No, I'm not even... I don't know. I just... When Twitter came along, I felt like it was, like, face Twitter tube, and I was just... Couldn't do it.
Do you know what... I mean, what is your name on Twitter, though?
It's Rachel Staples, but...
It's just at Rachel Staples.
Yeah.
No underscore or anything weird like that.
No. But okay. There's nothing on it. Sorry, everybody.
That's fine.
Well, Facebook is the main place, and your websites, and like we said... Anything comes out, we're going to be putting it up there. So
thank you. And you can find my music on the site as well.
Do your thing, baby.
Oh, where I plug the shit no one cares about?
Nah. I care about it.
Yeah, well, you don't count. My book on Amazon Kindle, Triumvirs, TRIUMVIRS. Read it, rate it, love it, and give it to others to read. Yeah, that's a good one. Do that. Will asked me, what is going on with my audio blog, Sterner Stuffs? The first episode is recorded. I am getting the second episode written and recorded. It's a little bit more labor-intensive than I imagined because I'm actually writing full essays that I have to think about and make sure I am being interesting. But basically what it will be is I think at this point twice a month, a blog where I will be talking about art, music, philosophy, science, math, anything that is on my mind and that I want to discuss that is not directly related to this podcast. So, Sterner Stuffs, as soon as I have all that shit worked out, you will know about it. Right now, it's just details and little niggling things that I'm finishing up. So, there's that. Twitter, The Sean David. Facebook, Sean David. All that other fun thing, so do it.
And you can follow me on Twitter, @ The Real Will Link. And you can also listen to me every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific on the PM show with Larry Minetti, which you could hear at crntalk.com. I review movies, and, you know, you should listen to me, what I have to say, because I know what's going on. Next week, we got a big guest. I mean, no
really?
Lena Dunham.
Bill Murray?
No Bill Murray, but close. We got nerdcore rapper MC Lars. He's just come back from a nationwide tour. When I say nationwide, I mean he was in Alaska. He was back on Long Island. He's been everywhere.
He was in Disney World in Florida.
He was in Florida. I mean, he is everywhere in the nation. People are very excited about this. And I'm 99.9% sure that this will happen next week. And who do we have the week after that?
The week after that... Oh, yes. Sorry, I got the schedule confused in my brain. The week after that, we have on a comedian, Debbie June. She is a personal essayist, and she is also a comedy writer on a television show. And I don't know yet whether or not I'm allowed to say, but it is a TV show that is on the air. So maybe next week we'll have more details for you, but she will be on. She's very funny. She's got some amazing stories about some terrible jobs that she's done in the past.
She's great, she's funny, and she's got a writing job, and maybe she could help us in life.
This is true.
Beyond just being on the show. So, once again, Rachel, thank you. This has actually been really interesting to me.
I saw you rolling your eyes.
We hope to take you to the opera.
I want to be taken to the opera.
We're going to. I'm gonna arrange something this season. We're gonna break his opera cherry.
Well, and there's always, you know, Cinderella, which is Cinderella, so you don't really need to know the story at all. I mean, you don't
even
need
though the
to
story
understand
will be,
because you already know the story.
Although it'll be totally different than the Disney version.
It's not gonna be mice going Cinderella, Cinderella.
Night and day,
it's Cinderella.
No.
No, not so much of that. A lot of running around a dark forest and getting beaten by whisk brooms by
steps. And it's not a glass slipper, rather it's a red bracelet.
He already doesn't like it.
No, I didn't. I have not made a face.
We'll take you to the Flying Dutchman. He's Dutch and he flies. And it's basically the plot of Pirates of the Caribbean 3.
My two favorite things are flying and the Dutch. And on that note...
I think we're finished.
We're finished.